This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University. And the following are recommendations and observations for the week of September 10th, 2012. Well, it was a pleasant start to the fall growing season, has many folks actively renovating damaged areas. The lack of consistent and persistent rainfall in some areas has the seeds sitting there. Mulch will help hold moisture, so be sure to use weed-free hay or any of the paper or wood-based mulches. Any moisture trapped in the soil will wick to the surface and be held in by the mulch. Sports turf areas need to decide now how they will make it through the rest of the season. There are still two good growing months ahead, and it is imperative that you take advantage of this time now and maintain adequate fertilization, ideally light amounts of half a pound of N every 2 to 3 weeks, frequent repetitive overseeding in high traffic areas to maintain turf density. Perennial ryegrass is best for this. Use caution if you have had gray leaf spot in the past, and some form of solid tine cultivation that you can form quickly and does not overly disrupt the surface for play. Airway makes a great deep knife unit that can be used weekly to make soil porous to water and maintain good rooting during compacting periods. In the golf area, many are facing new dollar spot pressure. Watch out for the resistance. Be sure to rotate chemistry smartly by using the frac codes, not just product names. Also, some concern remain for gray leaf spot. If you can wait for any ryegrass overseeding for at least another few weeks, Professor Paul Vincelli discusses some timely gray leaf spot information this week. Lots of cultural issues as well as various performance issues with fungicides. Well, it was a warm week last week with most areas 4 to 5 degrees above normal, with areas to the south slightly cooler. High heat stress was widespread. Degree day accumulation continues to progress at a record pace, keeping this year well in the top 10 warmest in the last 118 years. Interestingly, 7 of the top 10 warmest years on record have occurred since 2012. This year is about 1 month or more ahead of normal. Soils in the low to mid-70s north to south. There are a few pockets of moisture brought about 1 to 3 inches in southern New Jersey, Long Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. Some areas even noted as much as 4 inches of rainfall on the east end. Much of the rest of the region about a half inch. ET is really beginning to slow, with most areas north of New York City losing only about half an inch in areas around New York City and south about 3/4 of an inch. So overall, not much of a moisture deficit. Dollar spot and foliar anthracnose risk will be high for most of the region, so expect to get your spray interval and then watch for heavy pressure. Small pockets of high risk for brown patch in New York City area and up the Connecticut River Valley. It's a good time now for broadleaf weed control as part of or in addition to renovation programs. Following a showery, unstable weekend, high pressure will move in early in the week, bringing high, dry skies and very comfortable cooling conditions. Evening temps into the low 60s and low 50s. Maybe some coastal issues being influenced by the tropics and humidity might build. Longer term, calling for warmer than normal and wet. Check out all the weather information at our forecast website. The Cornell Cooperative Extension update begins with the Adirondack Report from Emily Selick and Lynn Wilson. A nice rain event has helped some turf green up, but many areas, especially on sandy soil, still struggling to recover. Many golf courses trying to get recovered for the leaf peeping season that often leads to an increase in rounds of golf. The Western New York Report from Walt Nelson. Many grassy areas, especially heavily used sports turf, going into dormancy as dry conditions continue to prevail in Rochester area. Most who have done some seeding are watching it sit there if there is no supplemental irrigation. Have seen some rust, but not much complaining about it yet. And the Westchester Report from Jerry Giordano. A summer entered its final couple of weeks. Contractors and homeowners wondered when heat and humidity would give their cool season grasses a break, especially as dry conditions began anew. The lab received many reports of patch diseases, and more often than not, questioning revealed a four-time fertilization regime, with the most recent occurring in July. Samples confirmed patch diseases and more chinch bug submissions. Japanese stiltgrass topped the weed reports, with one sample taken from a lawn composed of 65% stiltgrass next to woods where the weed is rampant, a common situation in Westchester. A gray leaf spot update from Paul Vincelli at the University of Kentucky. Pericularia grisea infects the foliage, causing leaf spots and blighting. Under human condition and fungus, the fungus produces microscopic spores on both upper and lower surfaces of infected leaves. These spores are dispersed by air movement. Leaf wetness, high humidity, and temperature in the high 70s to 80s are the three most important environmental factors that govern infection and sporulation of the organism. One of our great knowledge gaps is an understanding of how periods of high temperature may increase the susceptibility of perennial ryegrass to infection. On established perennial ryegrass, disease first appears as patches an inch or two in size, and the leaf blades turn a reddish-brown color. These initial infections can enlarge to patches a foot or two in size within days. As the disease progresses, large diffuse areas of turf can quickly become blighted. Affected turf often appears wilted despite adequate irrigation. In extremely severe outbreaks, most of all of the turf is killed. Several types of symptoms can be found when individual leaves are inspected. Sometimes one can find brown oval lesions which develop tan centers as they expand. Leaf lesions can look similar to Helminthosporium leaf spots. The organism may also produce leaf spots which are gray in color, which sometimes develop a yellow halo. These are often most common along the margin of leaf blades, a unique feature of this disease. In yet other instances, infected leaves, especially the youngest leaves, may simply develop an olive-green, water-soaked appearance with no indication of a discrete lesion. When the youngest leaves of perennial ryegrass are infected and cued by pericillary grisae, they sometimes appear twisted and curled, a symptom referred to as fishhook symptom. Seedlings of perennial ryegrass are very susceptible to gray leaf spot. Plants less than 8 to 12 weeks old may blight rapidly. New seedlings often fail when the disease is active during emergence and establishment. Studies indicate that perennial ryegrass is more susceptible to disease development with increasing levels of nitrogen fertilization. Keep nitrogen levels low during the summer to reduce susceptibility. If fertilizing during the period of June through August, foliar feed with a total of no more than a tenth to a quarter pound soluble N per 1,000 square feet during that period. To date, no research results are available to address the question as to how the source of N might influence gray leaf spot development. Many observers have noticed that gray leaf spot often develops earliest and most severe in tall cut perennial ryegrass. Studies to date have generally shown that disease severity on perennial rye increases as mowing height increases, although this question is still being researched. Some turf managers have observed that gray leaf spot is sometimes associated with mower passes, much like Pythium cottony blight. Based on these observations, some turf grass pathologists recommend mowing when the foliage is dry. On established perennial ryegrass, preventative fungicide protection is needed prior to the logarithmic phase of the disease. It is possible to find the first lesions of gray leaf spot 6 weeks or more in advance of this phase, but the logarithmic phase is the time when protection is critical. In many areas, this phase commonly occurs sometime during the first 3 weeks of August, although the logarithmic phase can occur as early as mid-July in Maryland. This phase may not develop in locations at the more northern range of occurrence until after Labor Day. Seedlings are more susceptible to gray leaf spot than is established turf. Seedlings made in mid to late summer may need preventative fungicide protection from emergence until near the next frost. Three fungicides, Heritage, Cleary's 3336, and Compass, are effective against gray leaf spot under moderate to high disease pressure. Heritage, at 0.4 ounces, can be expected to provide good to excellent control for a minimum of 3 weeks under high pressure. Heritage at 0.2 ounces at 2-3 week intervals has also worked very well in several tests, although some loss in disease control has been observed in some studies. Cleary's 3336 at 6 fluid ounces at 2 week spray intervals has provided excellent control in almost all studies, although control slipped slightly at the end of the 2 week interval in one study at Maryland. The 8 fluid ounce rate of Cleary's at no more than 2 week intervals may be necessary for assuring excellent disease control in all circumstances. Stretching the spray interval for Cleary's beyond 2 weeks may not only exceed the instructions on the label, but also unwise in the event that disease pressure becomes intense. In University of Kentucky tests for gray leaf spot control conducted thus far, Compass applied by itself has provided good control when used at high rates and frequent intervals, 0.2 ounces at 14-day intervals. But the use of low-labeled rates or long spray intervals may result in unacceptable levels of disease. And finally, my gazing in the grass update. Why does my tall fescue sod look like Kentucky bluegrass sod? Many turf grass managers have begun to see the benefits of the use of tall fescue as lawn sports and even golf grass around bunker faces in high traffic areas. Those who have purchased sod often express dismay at the amount of Kentucky bluegrass they see in the sod when delivered and then for about 6 months after installation. Often it is not until then we get very dry weather or the low maintenance program kicks in on a site By the way, what tall fescue is well suited for, that you might see a collapse in the Kentucky bluegrass population and actually see how much tall fescue you have. Two things. First, tall fescue sod is often between 80 to 90% tall fescue, 10 to 15% Kentucky bluegrass. When the sod is being produced with lots of water and fertilizer, the KBG takes over, and when installed and the maintenance in the first few months is high, the KBG population expands. The percent seed is calculated by seed weight, not actual number. A 90-10 tall fescue bluegrass mix is actually 65-35. An 85-15 tall fescue bluegrass is 53-47. And an 80-20 is 45-55, more bluegrass than tall fescue. Specify you want 90-10 and get ready to reduce maintenance slowly to avoid collapse. And finally, a note about rust. This disease is caused by a fungus that needs water on leaf blades and prefers soft, succulent leaf tissue that is produced after heavy fertilization. That means that rust is more common where the infected leaf blades don't get mowed off, such as compacted areas, low-end turf, and droughty turf. Rub a white tissue or piece of fabric across rusty lawn and you will see the powdery orange spores. Luckily, this disease rarely kills and the fungus is not toxic. At this time of year, the easiest solution to get the grass growing so the rusty leaves will be mowed away. The disease is also common when leaf blades are green, but the crop growth is stopped in the fall. There are resistant cultivars of perennial ryegrass and Kentucky bluegrass, and you can see the NTEP program website for more information. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.